You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everybody. The last punt of the Premier League season. I thought I'd return for one punt only. There's no one else to do it, is the actual truth. My name's Lee Phelps. Dave Kellner's in the studio and Derek McGovern's on the line. You all well, chaps?
Yes, very well.
Excellent, very well, thank excellent. You.
I've been listening from afar, not allowed back onto the... I've done a couple of midweeks, Derek. They let me on midweeks now and again. I put up a few winners and then I go into obscurity again. That's kind of the way this goes. This week I thought what I'd do was listen back to the preview punts that we did for the start of the season, you know, just to see how everyone got on. And actually, it doesn't make too unpleasant listening, this, Derek.
The
most disappointing thing about this, I was convinced that Kellner had put up Leicester to go down, but he didn't make any predictions at all. So let's start with we'll leave your top four alone, Derek, because it might come up a little bit later, because I think you had a bit of a dilemma over Man United in the top four anyway. But this is what Derek thought about the relegation picture. This is at the start of the season before a ball had been kicked.
Villa are my team, 5-2 to go down. I mean, they look shocking last season. They've lost their two best players, and yet, okay, Tim Sherwood's got money to bring in replacements, but where's he going to get two players who turned it on for him as much as they did last season, Delf and Benteke? I just can't see. He's not going to make a major sign, and he's going to buy, you know, moderate players, and they're just not going to do it for him. I think they're set to go down. And Sunderland, well, come on, it's about time, isn't it? Sunderland went down. I'm fed up with them. There should be a new bet every Sunderland game. Sunderland to score before the first disgruntled fan leaves the stadium. I mean, you know, that would be an interesting. The first disgruntled manager in my league this season. I've got to go for that. I'm going to go for Sunderland, Villa, and Watford to go down.
Watford 8-13, Sunderland 2-1, Aston Villa 5-2.
There you go. So that's not bad, Derek, to be fair.
Not only does he sound knowledgeable, that guy, he sounds handsome.
Dave was laughing at the jokes twice. He was laughing at the time and laughing again.
Good audience, Dave.
I've listened to him already, so this is my thoughts on the relegation picture before the season started.
Newcastle are an interesting team. I was all over Newcastle getting relegated at the end of last season. Those signings they've made could be interesting. The manager's obviously a bit of a work in progress as well in the Premier League. He's never quite done it in the Premier League. So for me, Norwich would be the one to go down for definite out of the three who come up. And I'll go with, if I had to pick three, I'll go with Villa, Norwich and Bournemouth. I think Watford might just scrape it somehow.
So I think we deserve a little pat on the back there.
Yes,
for those,
we do.
Those
that's
picks.
Excellent,
it's not
man. Very, yeah.
It's like, you know, a few winners. Obviously, the top four wasn't really worth talking about. But when I listened back, I was a little bit surprised to hear... I didn't remember saying this, and I've kept my light under a bushel about Leicester all season, but this is what I said about the top four.
I think it'll be...
Leicester?
Arsenal, Man City, maybe, but yeah.
So, I mean, you know, the tape doesn't lie, does it?
No, you did well there.
The tape does not lie. So, well, you know, there you go. We've got one more round of games to go. Not an awful lot on it, of course, throughout the table, but there are some interesting things to be sorted out, particularly for the Manchester clubs, the North London clubs as well, and, of course, Everton are without a manager, so it'll be interesting to see how they start off. Let's start off with Man City's game, shall we? They're live on the TV, and they're at Swansea. Swansea, obviously safe this season. Man City have had a kind of an up and down season, but they could still get that Champions League football, which Pep Guardiola will need. They're on 65 points at the moment, with a plus 30 goal difference. Manchester United are on 63 points, so City need a point at Swansea, Derek. Swansea, I mean, they're sat in mid-table. We know that when we've spoken to the likes of Robbie Savage before, they say, you know, moving up, you know, the table does give you a bit more money and it gives you a bit more in your pay packet at the end of the season. They could feasibly finish above Stoke if they get a win. I'm never convinced by that, if I'm being honest, though. And they haven't got the greatest record against City either, have they? They've lost on each of the last six occasions and don't win at home against them either. Plenty of goals in their games, though, usually.
Well, yeah, the last two matches they've beaten Liverpool 3-1 and West Ham 4-1. How did that happen? You know, everyone has said they'd given up the ghost for the season, and then they roll up with two victories like that.
I mean, the first thing you'd say is that you can't possibly back City at 1-2. I mean, yes, you know, there's something in it for them, and there's nothing in it for Swansea, but there was nothing in it for Swansea against West Ham last week, and look what happened. All that I would say is that City need a point to guarantee a Champions League spot, and they're playing against a team that don't necessarily have to put it all in, even though they have the last couple of weeks. So I've got, rather than backing City at 1-2, I'd have to go for a draw. Eh? And you're right, City won their 4-2 last season, 3-2 the season before. But, you know, all they're interested in here, City, is not losing. A point will do them. So why back them at 1-2 to win when a point will do them? That'll do for me.
Yeah. Swansea at 9-2. DK, the draw, 100-30. The enhanced odds, Andre Ayew to score and Swansea to win, 9-1, was 15-2. And Sergio Aguero to score, Man City to win, 11-8 from 11-10. Obviously, he's in the running to be top scorer as well. Maybe talk about that as we go through the podcast. On 24 goals, with Kane leading that chase on 25 and Vardy on 24 as well. Which way do you go? I kind of knew Derek was going to say that. If you need a point, you'll get a point.
Yeah, and the draw does look decent at 100-30 when you consider Man City of 8-15. And Derek's right about Swansea's recent results. They've just come out of the blue, really. And at home in particular, they've been very impressive. They won their last four games, Premier League home games, which is their best run of home results in the history of the competition. So they're breaking records at the moment, Swansea. But that game against Liverpool was when Liverpool were resting players for the Europa League exploits, and the game against West Ham was just one of those unfathomable football results, just a real bolt from the blue. And I think they're going to struggle in this game because they are without Ashley Williams and Gylfi Sigurdsson, which I think matters for them. They've been their standout players this season, in particular Sigurdsson, who's their creator and has scored more goals than anyone else for Swansea this season. And if you are looking for difference makers in this match, Sergio Aguero is the man because, as you mentioned, trying to chase down Harry Kane for top Premier League goal scorer, and he scored 10 in his last 10 Premier League games. I just find it inconceivable that Manchester City are going to give Manchester United another sniff because they've given them their chance this season and Manchester United have blown it late on. City, I think, will go there and win, but I'm not particularly attracted by the 8-15. I like the enhanced odds offer here. Sergio Aguero to score and Manchester City to win is in the betting at 11-8. Another man to look at, if he does get a look in here, it is Wilfred Bony. I know he's had a pretty disastrous season for Manchester City all told, and he's only 6-5 to score, so you'd have to check the team news here. But it's a fixture that he really likes. He scored in both of his Premier League matches against Swansea for Manchester City, and he's also got 3 goals in his last 2 appearances in this fixture for Swansea against Manchester City. So if he starts, maybe have a look at him. But I like the enhanced odds offer here. Don't want to play City 8-15, but when you're getting the best striker in the Premier League and the team to win at 11-8, that are as short as 8-15, I'll play that enhanced odds offer.
Yeah, looks nice. Swansea, incidentally, have got the 6th best home defence in the division this season, which I was surprised to look at. Let's go to another fantastic home defence, shall we? The other TV game, all these at 3 o'clock, by the way, on Sunday, is Manchester United versus Bournemouth. 8 goals conceded at Old Trafford this season for Manchester United. So whatever you think of them, and Derek doesn't think much, they've been great at home defensively. Sitting there on 63 points, they know that they must win this game against Bournemouth, who have done a great job. 42 points they've amassed, safe, and maybe Eddie Howe eyeing up a move to Merseyside. Who knows? With nothing to play for, DK, you know, you look at Bournemouth and think, you know, can I really justify 7-1? I can't justify 2-5 at Man United. Draw 7-2. Which one of those takes your fancy the most?
I think probably the draw out of those 90-minute prices. And you think back to Tuesday night's performance at Upton Park or the Berlin ground against West Ham, and they lacked that intensity and that desire in those opening 10 minutes. I thought they were bullied in midfield, and it just showed how lightweight they are in that area with Juan Mata and Ander Herrera. They were bossed by the likes of Cech Kiarte and Mark Noble to a lesser extent as well. They've not got someone who can take the game by the scruff of the neck and really drive Manchester United forward. And it was strange because Louis van Gaal pre-match talked about not conceding free kicks in dangerous areas. It was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And he gave West Ham the idea of pumping balls into the box. And that's what they did. And that's how Manchester United conceded goals. It's weird talking about your weaknesses pre-match. And Van Gaal,
and then seeing your players actually doing the opposite of what you want to do.
Precisely.
It's almost like they don't want to play for him.
Well, I don't think they will be for much longer. Right. Because if Manchester United finish fifth, which they are expected to do, it will be, no matter what happens in the FA Cup final, a disastrous season for Manchester United. And the reverse fixture ended 2-1 to Bournemouth as well earlier in the season. There's just a huge rebuilding job to be done at Manchester United. The good thing is they've got Bournemouth, and Bournemouth have picked up only 4 points away from their last seven Premier League matches, and three of those came at Villa Park, so you can kind of disregard those. Manchester United and under 2.5 goals has landed in four of their last five home games, so that could be a way in. Manchester United and under 2.5 goals available here with William Hill at 11-4, which I think if you're considering backing Manchester United at 2-5, that 11-4 is definitely the better of the two prices. And maybe have a look at a couple of goal scorers here. Anthony Martial, if he does play, there's a chance he might be rested because he picked up that hamstring injury and might not have played against West Ham if it wasn't so vital. But he's 23-20 to score any time. He's got four in his last three. And Joshua King is 16-5 to score any time in this game. They've got a real threat from wide positions from Charlie Daniels at wing-back. And Josh King's such a physical specimen that he can bully maybe Chris Smalling, maybe pull onto Danny Blind. So I'd look at those two as possible goal-scorer options as well.
Derek, the enhanced odds offers Martial to score, Man United to win, 13-8 was 13-10. Benekophobia to score, Bournemouth to win. 16-1 was 12. Not even you could make a case for Bournemouth here, could you?
No, they look as though they've given up for the season. I mean, a half-decent result for them last week. So, other than that, there's not really too much comfort you can draw from their recent results. Although they have played some decent teams in that spell. It's just that you get Man United at long odds on. Instinctively, you don't want to back them. And not only that, you might say, well, yeah, you know, they've got it all to play for. They could still pip City for fourth place. But they might well hear halfway through the game that City are winning cosily in the other game, and imagine how flat the atmosphere would fall then, flatter than flat face's nose, I would suggest. When you come to a game like this and you can't fancy either side, you've got to look elsewhere for the value. And I like the look of the unders on the goals, under 1.5 goals, 7-2. Looks a bit big to me. That I can see this being a. You know, I've got a feeling they could hear from. They might hear from the City game that things aren't going the way they wanted. What would they be hoping would be a party atmosphere? Would be anything but. I'm going to go low on the goals.
I think the atmosphere will be interesting as well, Derek, because there are obviously a hell of a lot of disgruntled Manchester United fans at the moment, and if they're not leading early in this game, there's going to be an enormous amount of pressure on these Manchester United players to perform. I can see 1-0 or 2-0 Manchester United. I think if I was having a bet in this game, I said maybe the draw in the 90 minutes market looks the most attractive price at 7-2, but I'd probably edge to that 11-4 for Manchester United to win and under 2.5 goals, given the recent history at Old Trafford.
The other way, I suppose, to go is that correct score group betting, which everyone loves. The Man United to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 to give you a little bit of insurance, yeah. 19-10.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Because you could go the other way, Derek. You know, you never know. They could hear that all is lost in terms of Champions League football and start playing nice football all of a sudden when they relax.
Yeah, well, we always know the last day of the season often throws up bizarre scorelines. It was an 8-0 not that long ago. It was a 5-4.
Was it 5-4 the West Brom Man United
game?
Right,
yeah.
Fergie's last game.
Exactly, and Everton won one, I believe, one final day. So
never.
So, you know, that could happen, but it's Man United, so it's unlikely.
Yeah, the top four finish markets available on this. By the way, City are 1-10, Man United 11-2. We've also got a top six market, which we'll come on to now, because we're going to have a look at the final TV game of the three, and it's Stoke versus West Ham. The media's love affair with West Ham shows no signs of slowing down. We get to watch this one as well at Stoke, 5-2. The Potters 21-10. The draw and 6-5. The price for West Ham. Stoke in 10th on 48 points. Can go above Chelsea with a win. They need Chelsea to lose their match, though. Stoke's form has been pretty dreadful. All that kind of idea that Mark Hughes is the kind of manager who can keep them going right to the end of the season has been proved pretty wrong, because since they went on that nice run, finishing off really with the 2-2 draw at Swansea, they've lost 4-1 to Liverpool, at Liverpool, 4-0 at home to Tottenham, 4-0 at City, drawn 1-1 with Sunderland, and lost 2-1 at Palace. You look at West Ham's form, and if you take out that massive blip, which was a 4-1 defeat at home to Swansea City, they've been scoring goals and winning games, DK. To be fair, you know, I never knew they had two grounds, you know, this whole bowling ground thing. I don't know where that's come from, the hipsters. But, you know, good to see them celebrating. If they finished the closing ceremony in time, they should have a chance here at Stoke.
Yeah, you'd think so. It was a great night to be on Twitter, because you've got that infinite amount of rubberneckers on Twitter that just like watching car crashes. So they stayed up throughout the 12-hour closing ceremony at the bowling ground on Tuesday night.
It's one of those that should, you know, when you watch like royal occasions and you have like an Attenborough doing the kind of the commentary on it. It's very slow. It's like, and now here we see the Lord Lieutenant of Glasgow and his wife Marie, and it should have one of those on it.
The fans were annoyed at having to cheer at the end. They'd done that much cheering throughout the course of the night, and Danny Baker had it right on Twitter. He said the closing of a ground like that should be all about the fans just ripping the stadium up, basically, yeah, and taking what they can to put on eBay. And that's not the way it materialised. There were black cabs. They interviewed Marlon Harewood 3 times. It was absolutely
club
ludicrous. I liked some of the tweets about this, actually. Rory Smith from The Times tweeted, "It wouldn't be West Ham if it wasn't a bit of a letdown. They've pitched this perfectly," which I liked. And Craig on Twitter said, "This is the worst thing I've ever seen. And I've seen my mum dancing with a big blow-up Blackpool," which I quite liked. To which someone responded, "That's no way to talk about your dad." So it was one of those...
His dad was called Richard.
It was one of those evenings at Upton Park where you think, can they get over that, the emotion of that night to produce another performance at the Britannia on Sunday? I'm not entirely sure. The last 3 meetings between these two sides have been draws, and even though Stoke are without a win in 6 games, they've lost 4 of those, and they have been disappointing at home recently, picking up just 2 points from a possible 12. And a lot of their big name players, they've not been performing. The only one that has is Marko Arnautovic, who's finished the season pretty well. I think this could be a high scoring draw here. The draw is 21-10, and if you look at the draw and both teams to score in the match, that's in the betting at 3-1. I think that's a possibility here. West Ham have been free scoring. They'll finish the season actually with a positive goal difference. They're currently on plus 15 for the first time in the top flight since way back in 85-86.
Great stat.
And that shows how much progress they've made under Slaven Bilic, I think, as well. But they've only kept 1 clean sheet in their last 9 in the league. So yeah, I think both teams will score in this game. I'm going both teams to score and this game to end in a draw at 3-1.
Interesting.
There's a Europa League place up for grabs, isn't it, for West Ham? But they could still be caught by Southampton, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, you've led me in nicely there, Derek. The top 6 finish prices are as such: Man United 1-25, West Ham 4-7, Southampton 11-10, and Liverpool 20-1. So that's to finish in the top 6 in the Premier League this season, of course. And the way that table looks, let me just run through in case anyone hasn't got it in front of them. Man United obviously occupying 5th place at the minute in 63 points and a plus 12 goal difference. West Ham 62 with plus 15. Southampton 60 plus 15. And Liverpool on 59 with plus 13. Liverpool are at West Brom. We'll preview all these games as we go along, of course. Southampton at home to Crystal Palace. So, yeah, there is a lot to be done here, Derek. And, you know, that, like you say, that if Man United, you know, only get a draw, for instance, which is unlikely against Bournemouth, West Ham can go above them with a draw. With a win.
Yeah, I'm not sure that... I think they're trying to keep Southampton at arm's length, aren't they? I think that's going to be uppermost in West Ham's mind. And to which a draw isn't good enough for them, because if Southampton were to win and West Ham only to draw, Southampton will finish above West Ham.
Yeah, I think they need to win this game.
Yeah. And I think they will win it, to be honest. I mean, I don't think all those shenanigans after the game will have affected any of the players. They'd probably been long in bed by then.
They'd have been home by the time it finished.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that closing ceremony seems to just... I think they were timing it so it finished just as the opening ceremony at the Olympic Stadium started. I've got to go for West Ham. You can't go for Stoke. Just the way they're playing, they've given up long ago for the season. If you're losing to Crystal Palace, who were only interested in the FA Cup final, well, it shows you where your mindset is. It's on the beach. Yeah. West Ham will win this.
I do. Finding some way in on the overs and the goals is a great idea. The match prices, you may be attracted by the 5-2 Stoke or the 6-5 West Ham, 21-10 the draw. But do you like the goals? Tons of goals. West Ham, look at their away matches. They've been scoring for fun, twos and threes. Mm. And Stoke, I think as you were saying, DK, that the wheels have kind of come off and the clean sheets are few and far between. You see more clean sheets at a student's house than you do at Stoke City's ground at the minute. Sorry, guys. We've got three students in the studio, Derek. I just did that for their benefit. Let's move on to some of the 3 o'clock games. Shall we start with the North London teams? Because there's still a bit to play for there as well. Tottenham, of course, in second place, but their season seems to be unravelling day by day. Arsenal, obviously desperate to finish above their North London rivals. Arsenal are on 68 points and Tottenham are on 70. Let's start with Tottenham because they're above their North London rivals at the moment. They're at Newcastle, who, of course, have been relegated midweek. 7-2 Newcastle are to win this game, 12-5 the draw and 5-6 Tottenham. Staggering, really, Derek, when you look at what Tottenham have done in the last couple of games, they've seemed to have just kind of got rid of everything they knew that was good about their game. They haven't managed to do what Leicester did, which was just maintain their discipline and their focus. You know, the 9 yellow cards, the kind of the bans that they've been getting, off the pitch, if you like, it's just kind of turned into a bit of a disaster. The 1-1 draw with West Ham seemed to start it off. 2-2 draw at Chelsea is no great shame there. Obviously, it handed Leicester the title, and then losing to Southampton at home. Can they get themselves back up, and how will Newcastle be approaching this game?
Well, I know there's so many imponderables, but you're right. Tottenham, a team that a couple of weeks ago had a real chance at the title, have picked up 2 points from three games, whereas Leicester are just going from strength to strength. And it would just be like Tottenham now to throw away their one chance in 20 years to finish above Arsenal. It's just Tottenham all over. In a funny way, I like the 7-2 Newcastle here, I think it's a big price for a team that will... The shackles are off now. Their home record, let's not forget, for a team that's been relegated, they've only lost 5 times at home this season. They played some tidy sides. When was the last time they lost a game away at Southampton? Six games ago? No disgrace. Yeah. I know you're thinking, well, Tottenham, everything at stake here for Tottenham, but I don't think they can go again. No. I think they're already at the bottom of the well. These prices are wrong in my eyes. And Newcastle, one thing you can say about them, they've had great support from their fans season after season, even though they've been flirting with relegation season after season. And they owe it to them for the last home game of the season. They're not certainties, but 7-2, it's wrong. It screams wrong in my eyes.
It does look a little big, doesn't it? If you can make that argument that Derek's just made and take a bit of a leap of faith, they do owe the fans something. And, I think the fans will... It's that kind of almost gallows humour, isn't it, where the fans will be at their very best for this last game. There won't be any kind of booing or anything like that about the players. I think they'll be fully supportive of their team.
I'm not 100% sure about that because I think they'll want to voice their discontent towards Mike Ashley.
Definitely.
And for not bringing Rafa Benitez in earlier. I mean, they waited until the 11th of March to get rid of Steve McLaren, which is just, or until appointing Rafa Benitez. Steve McLaren stayed in that job until it was not impossible, but inconceivable that Rafa Benitez could even save them. So I think it'll be quite a toxic atmosphere actually there, because I think they'll want to let Mike Ashley know what they think of his mismanagement of the club. I wouldn't want to be loading up on Tottenham at 5-6. I think a big factor here is Mauricio Pochettino signing that new contract until 2021.
Only bright light, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a big factor because obviously there were rumours after he was spotted having lunch with Sir Alex Ferguson that Manchester United were going to try and poach him.
I think Ferguson may be going to go to the other way. Maybe he's going to become like the director of football at Tottenham. that's more likely, isn't it?
Well, yeah, the only thing saying about that meeting was that Pochettino paid the bill.
I don't know about backing Newcastle either here at 7-2. And you're right, Spurs have something to play for, but Newcastle don't have anything to play for. They are relegated. They only have to play for the fans here. And Do the fans matter that much to this team of mercenaries? Now we've not got many born and bred Geordies in that team, have you now?
Let's not forget, by the way, that Newcastle, they only won 2 away games all season, and one of them was at Tottenham.
Yeah, that what a double that would be, to do the double over Spurs and get relegated this season, given how they've done. But
we'd remember that stat for the ages, wouldn't we?
Newcastle have only lost one of their last 8 in the Premier League at St James's Park. They've won 4 and drawn 3. But on the flip side of that, Tottenham have lost just one of their last 17 Premier League away games. I think you've been a little bit harsh and disrespectful to Tottenham, you two, as well, given that they did draw 1-1 with West Brom. That was a disappointing result. But they went to Stamford Bridge and were 2-0 up in that game. I know they lost their discipline and their heads late on in that match. And then they came up against the informed side in the Premier League in Southampton, who just played better than them at White Hart Lane on the day when the title was all but done and dusted. So I think you've been a little bit harsh. I think Tottenham will win this game, actually. I'll play Tottenham to win and over 2.5 goals. I think it will be exciting final day of the season for both teams. So 11-8, Tottenham to win and over 2.5 goals. Harry Kane to score as well, chasing that Premier League top scorer 5-2 title.
5-2 for him to score and Tottenham to win. That was 13-8, one of the enhanced odds offers. And if you,
well, that's a big boost, isn't it? Yeah. That as well.
And if you're going with the argument, Derek's argument, and you're looking for the enhanced odds offer there, Papi Cite to score and Newcastle to win is 7-1. Was 5-1. Let's move on to the Arsenal game then. Next, Arsenal have relatively easy fare. Aston Villa at home. If you want the last game of the season to get some points, this is the one. Like I said, they're on 68 points. So a win and Tottenham losing is the only thing that will do for them, because Tottenham have got such a better goal difference than North London rivals. It's plus 38 Spurs, plus 25 Arsenal. So they need Tottenham to lose, and they need to beat Villa, which doesn't seem like that hard a task. They've picked up 1 point from a possible 36 in the Premier League. That was that draw against Newcastle United, of course, that 0-0. And away from home, they've been conceding goals and barely scoring any. DK, Arsenal, I mean, their shins must be black and blue from kicking themselves about this season. I'm still incredulous that they've let this happen, Arsenal.
Yeah.
Of all the seasons, to allow Tottenham to finish above them potentially and Leicester to win the title is staggering to me, and they will never get a better opportunity than this. In terms of the prices, I haven't got too much good news. 1-7 Arsenal, 18-1 Aston Villa, 13-2 the draw. This is kind of like 4 or 5 years ago prices when you had solid, consistent, very, very good teams against fodder.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I think this could be, Derek, one of the biggest prices we've seen all season. Aston
Villa.
It must
be the biggest, sure.
To win away from home.
Well, it could be. But is that 18-1 the odds, or your idea of the final scoreline?
I think they're going to get murdered, aren't they, Aston Villa?
Yeah.
But Lee's right in what he says about Arsenal in terms of blowing that opportunity, and it's been down to the midfield, I think, mainly. I know Olivier Giroud has had his critics, particularly Arsenal fans, and even though he went through that spell where he didn't score in 15 weeks in the Premier League, 15 games in the Premier League, got one last week against Manchester City at the Etihad and played really well in that game. And Arsenal fans have every right to get frustrated with him. But in midfield, they've not had anyone with any real steel in their all season. They've got players like Aaron Ramsey, like Alexis Sanchez and Mesut Ozil, that are intricate players that play with guile, but when you need someone with substance to really step up and grab a game by the scruff of the neck, they've not got anyone of that ilk, Arsenal, and that's Arsene Wenger's fault for not signing anyone like that. When he had Patrick Vieira, Emmanuel Petit, they had players with real steel, and they're not going to need anyone with steel in this game. They could play with 9 men and beat Aston Villa on Sunday. I like the headline now for the enhanced odds offer here. Olivier Giroud to score and Arsenal to win. Even money tempts me. I thought he played brilliantly at the Etihad, and Arsenal have got a great record in this fixture as well. They've won 9 of their last 11 with Aston Villa in all competitions. And Arsenal have actually scored 14 goals without reply in their last 4 games against Aston Villa. Arsenal to win to nil in this match is 4-5. It has been backed in from 5-6, in fact, but That's what will happen. Arsenal will win 2-0 and Olivier Giroud will get on the score sheet.
Yeah, they've conceded 37 goals in the Premier League away from home this season, Derek, as well. Aston Villa, it's difficult. I mean, even for the value hunter like yourself, 18-1, you know, it might be, in this season in the Premier League, maybe it's worth a quid.
No, it's not. No, it might be any other team, maybe, but not Villa. I mean, you know, when they had something to play for, they didn't play. They just want the season to finish. There'll be no interest on Villa's part. Arsenal win this in a cakewalk. They won 5-0 in this fixture last season. It could easily be that. I mean, the even money to cover a 2-goal handicap, you know, to win by 3 or more. I mean, that looks nailed on to me. Just put your bet on, wait 90 minutes, go and collect. It's just, that's how simple it looks. And I take issue, by the way, Arsenal will be kicking themselves for not winning this title. Why should they have won the title? I'm looking at Arsenal's team, and I see nothing there that says title winners to me. I really don't. I just think this is a... I think one of the regular fixtures this season would be Mohamed Elneny in midfield. I've watched that guy, and I cannot see anything. I cannot see how he's getting a game in a top four Premier League side. This is a bang average Arsenal squad, and actually, in my eyes, they've done well to finish third.
I'm thinking is from their own perspective, if they see themselves as genuine title contenders, in the bracket of City. I'm not saying they're alone, right, by the way. City and Chelsea, obviously, these other teams, to a certain extent Man United, I guess, but you wouldn't maybe have expected them to win the title. But I mean, it's just a lack of consistency they've shown, I guess. They could have won the title. The right team has won the title, but they should have been a lot closer. You're right. I mean, they are where they are for a reason. But 12 points off Leicester.
Yeah.
I mean, it's outrageous, isn't it?
They've had a couple of really bad injuries. I'm not
they always
playing
do, they
devil's
don't.
Advocate.
They always do.
And people have said that it's to do with the conditioning and the training regime that's adopted at the Emirates. But Francis Coquelin has been out, and he was the one guy that... I know you love that defensive midfielder, that guy that just holds in front of the back four, Derek. He was doing that job for Arsenal. And Jack Wilshere, of course, has been a long-term absentee. Now they've got Danny Welbeck on the sidelines for 9 months. I'm just waiting for Arsene Wenger, when Welbeck comes back, to say, it's like we've got a new signing here in Danny Welbeck.
Yeah.
Because that's bound to be reeled out in 6 months after the season starts when he comes back. But yeah, they've been affected by injuries. But Derek's right. There's nothing in that side to suggest they should be title winners, in all honesty. The squad's not good enough.
Let's move on to the other team who can get into the top six that we mentioned. The Southampton, Liverpool still to go. Let's do Southampton first. As DK said, they are the form team in the Premier League at the moment, and they're 4-11 to beat a Crystal Palace team with the FA Cup final on their minds. Palace are 7-1, the draw's 19-5. Dave, no win away from home for Palace in the Premier League this year, and they've picked up 4 points from the 9 games that they've played away from their ground. Southampton, they're just a really intriguing team, aren't they? Because they go through some peaks and troughs in the season. When they get in a trough, it's pretty desperate stuff. But when they get to the peak, they really fly. I mean, some of the games recently, they're scoring goals for fun. All right, maybe some of the teams that they've beaten, they should have beaten. But 3-2 against Liverpool, 4-2 against Man City. They're getting wins, and the fans are seeing some great football. And that man, Sadio Mane, has rediscovered his touch as well.
He's been great. I think he's been fantastic. And you're right about Southampton. They do have definite lulls in a season, and then come through, and when they do peak, they do look sensational. And at White Hart Lane, I thought that performance was absolutely terrific. And they've done well to get Virgil van Dijk to sign a new contract as well. He's signed a new 6-year deal. He's been outstanding for them this season. It's going to be intriguing to see if they can keep Sadio Mane and Victor Wanyama in this transfer window, because there's always a high turnover of players at Southampton, and they recruit very well. And there's doubts about Ronald Koeman's future as well. I know he's been well back for the Everton job in the last day or so. And apparently he's said that he's not that happy at Southampton privately, and that's come out publicly subsequently. But if they can keep him, I think they've got a really solid manager there. And Dusan Tadic has impressed me as well. He's 13-8 to score any time on Sunday. He's been involved in 8 goals in his last 4 Premier League games, scoring a couple and assisting 6. I think it's a shame we haven't got that header to be scored market here, because Southampton are a real threat from set pieces. Only West Ham have scored more headed goals this season in the top flight than Southampton. they're absolutely nailed on to win this game, Lee. And I say that with a slight amount of trepidation because I know those sort of things can come back and haunt you on this podcast. But they're 4-11 to win this game. Crystal Palace won't field a strong side because they've got the FA Cup final coming up shortly in a week's time. And they haven't won in 10 Premier League games on the road either. They've drawn 5 and lost 5 of those. It's difficult to even predict what starting lineup Alan Pardew is going to go with here because they've got players that are just coming back from injury that are pertinent if they're or important for them if they're going to challenge Manchester United in that FA Cup final. And I think those guys that do start that are even playing for a place are going to make sure any 50-50s, they make them 40-60s. They won't go on in full throttle in this game, Palace. I think Southampton will roll them over comprehensively. Southampton minus one is 5-6. Southampton minus two is in the betting at 11-5. The stick on this week.
Joint second highest scorers at home in the Premier League, Southampton, Derek. 35 goals they've rattled in. Only Man City have scored more with 47. Leicester and Tottenham also got 35. Hard to argue with a lot of that. I mean, I guess as a football bettor, you ponder what a game looming on the horizon, a big game looming on the horizon does to a player. We've never quite got the answer to that, but it's fair to say that, you know, you wouldn't, as DK said, you wouldn't be going into 50-50s full throttle, would you?
No, but how do you explain them going to beating Stoke 2-1 last week? Palace, then, you know, good they still had the FA Cup final on the horizon.
Maybe Stoke's inadequacies, I guess. But
possibly. Right, yeah. And yeah,
this is a bit closer, isn't it? It's a week away.
Yeah,
you know.
But you could argue also, by the way, that you probably won't play. I'm sure that Bolasie and Zaha probably won't play. But you would argue that Palace are playing Man United next week in the Cup final. And Palace's best chance of victory in that is to soak up the pressure, which is what they're good at, and catch on the break, which is what they're good at as well. Wouldn't they do the same as a sort of a dress rehearsal in a game like this? What I'm saying is that I wouldn't be backing them to win this game, but it could well be a dress rehearsal. Well, they'd soak up everything Southampton have to give, throw at them and try and catch them on a break as a bit of practice for them. Yeah. And while they've been not winning games recently, they haven't been mullered by anybody. You look at their defeats recently. They've only been by the narrowest of margins, or they've been drawing games. And I'm looking at Palace plus 2 goals. It's almost even money, 3-4. I like the look of that. You know, so, let's not forget, by the way, the Palace have been to played Southampton twice this season, and including in the cup at St Mary's, and won both fixtures. Okay, the last was in January, but still, you know, and their form has tailed off a little. But they are capable. And if this was to be in, say, in about November, this fixture, I'd have been all over Palace. The reason people won't be is because of that cup final date. But I just think that result at Stoke last week tells me that the players haven't jacked it in yet. And these odds, basically, it's Southampton, and they've been playing well, but they have lost 11 games this season. That's an awful lot for a side that's winning plauders left, right and centre. And they're basically 4-11, and I can't back Southampton at those kind of odds.
Just a quick one. You look at the match before their FA Cup match throughout the season, Crystal Palace, they've lost all of them.
Right.
That match before the FA Cup.
That's too smart about that statistic to come out with. Can you edit that out?
You're right, though. They've not been absolutely mullered by any teams.
I was looking at myself.
Chelsea beat them 3-0 back in January before the FA Cup. Spurs beat them 3-1, but that was when Spurs were really flying. And subsequently, they played Liverpool. Liverpool beat them 2-1 before they won it against Reading. Manchester United beat them 2-0 in the Premier League before they beat Watford in the FA Cup. So they've not been killed by anyone, but they have lost those matches.
Interesting. The enhanced odds offers for the Southampton Crystal Palace match see Shane Long to score and Southampton to win 11-8 from 11-10, and Yannick Bolasie to score and Crystal Palace to win was 14s. Now 20s. Let's move on to the final team who could potentially get top six finish in the Premier League. That's Liverpool, who are 20-1 to do so. So they'd need quite a lot to go for them. They'd basically need West Ham to lose, Southampton to lose as well, and a little bit of a swing round in goal difference because they're on plus 13 compared to West Ham's plus 15. And of course, they've got the Europa League on the horizon. So the same question that we just asked about the FA Cup, I guess, applies to the Europa League final as well. They're going to a West Brom team who have lost the last three at home and haven't scored a goal. Lost to Norwich, lost to Watford, both a goal to nil, and lost 3-0 to West Ham as well. So not been in the greatest of Nick. Full stop. Haven't won a game in the Premier League since beating Manchester United way back on the 6th of March. And Liverpool have found something recently, Derek. Even the spirited draw at home to Chelsea, the 1-1 getting it, you know, that last minute. There just seems to be that thing about Liverpool. And Anfield must be an incredible place to be these days, watching your football after the Dortmund thing and then the Villarreal. Liverpool on a bit of a crest of a wave here. I wonder, the other side of the kind of resting your players and having an eye on a big final is momentum. You touched upon it there. Liverpool want to keep some momentum here, don't they?
Yeah, they do. But you look at these prices and you'll see Liverpool at 21-10, and then you'll
see massive,
this.
It looks
well,
big.
It does, especially the way West Brom have been playing, and you know West Brom have given up for the season. But then you'll see the team sheet, and it's likely that Liverpool will drift out because I just know the team sheet Klopp's going to play, and it's going to be all, you know, the Brad Smiths and players like that who've done a decent job, to be fair, when they've come in.
Are you saying they can't still win a place in the Europa League final?
No, they can't. No, I am saying exactly that. This fix is horrible, isn't it? It's absolutely horrible. I ain't got a clue. I'll go for that. I mean, me and David talking off air before we came on. Instinctively, when you get matches like this, you've got to back the home team on the last day of the season because the away team's got nothing at stake. And at least the home team, I've got to be honest, because they're in front of their own fans, the carnival atmosphere, blah, 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 blah. Well, I've thought that every season. And last season, I finally got off my backside and did a bit of research, thinking there's got to be a preponderance of home wins on the final day. No, not the case. It's not the case at all. Where does that lead me? I ain't got a clue. I'm going for the draw.
Seventh worst home defence against the fifth best away attack here, DK.
Yeah, it's just all about the team news, isn't it? Because you look at the team he's... I think it's already been preempted. The prices have already have been adjusted for the fact that Liverpool are going to play a weak side here. You look at the sort of sides he's played in the lead-up to the Europa League matches. Chirivella and Kevin Stewart, I think, will play in the centre of midfield. Jordan Ibe and Ojo, who's really promising, they'll play out wide. And as mentioned, Brad Smith will be in contention for a starting place as well. But West Brom are without a win in eight. They beat Manchester United 1-0 back in early March, and they were disappointing. I thought they were big price last weekend against Bournemouth, and they disappointed me, only drawing 1-1. So I find it hard to side with West Brom at 7-5, no matter what Liverpool side is put out on Sunday. Christian Benteke, by the way, he's lost a ton of weight, hasn't he? He looks a shadow of him of his former self, Christian Benteke. He might start up front. He's 13-10 to score any time. I know you said that performance against Chelsea was spirited, Lee, but that team might be a foreshadowing of the team that is going to play on Wednesday. And they were disappointing, you know. They didn't play that well against Chelsea. And I wonder whether he'll be tempted to throw a few of those guys that are maybe on the fringes into this game just to see if they can regather a little bit of form. You mentioned, Derek, as well, the home versus away thing on the final day of the season. Interestingly, Liverpool have lost each of their last three final day fixtures in the Premier League, which have been away from Anfield, back in 2011, 2012 and 2015. But West Brom have only won one of their nine final day Premier League matches. I'm going to have to go for the draw here. Yeah. I've got no strong opinion on this match. 21-10, the draw.
Yeah, if you do like a win for either side, then Rondon to score and West Brom to win is 7-2, and Benteke to score in a Liverpool win is now 4-1. Let's have a look at managerless Everton at home to Norwich for their final game of the season. Norwich, of course, relegated in midweek on 34 points as it stands at the moment, and their away form has been one of the main factors for them dropping out of the Premier League. You look at their away form, and just two wins since their opening day win at Sunderland. They beat Man United away and they beat West Brom, but since the turn of the year, it's just been loss after loss after loss after loss. Everton, we know their poor home record has been one of the major factors for Roberto Martinez losing his job, as well as the 55 goals that they've conceded this season. Derek, which new manager is going to win in the Premier League next season then? That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, well, you mentioned Koeman going to Everton, didn't you?
But 6-4 he is now.
Yeah.
He was a lot shorter. He was a lot bigger than that yesterday.
Yeah, I think he opened up like 10-1
yeah,
on Koeman and has been backed in.
Frank de Boer's even money. He kind of quit Ajax 2 hours before the Everton job was made vacant. Manuel Pellegrini 5s, Mark Hughes 7s, Moyes 8s, Kike Sanchez Flores is 10s, as is Rafa Benitez, Brendan Rodgers, Eddie Howe at 20s. We'll call it a day there because Jose Mourinho's not going to Everton at 25s.
Whispers on Liverpool, Benitez, you know, serious whispers. I mean, he wants to stay. His family grew up, but he wants to stay in Merseyside. I just can't imagine him beginning the season, though, at Real Madrid and then beginning the following season at Everton. But
what about Newcastle in the Championship, though?
Yeah, well, he won't stay there. There's absolutely no chance of that. It'd just be interesting. I mean, I feel a bit sorry for Martinez, but he had to go. I mean, he was brought to Goodison to turn Everton into winners, and instead he's turned him into Wigan. It just takes some doing that. This fix is a horrible one, isn't it? Norwich, they've just gone down. What's in it for them? Everton have got to turn it on, surely now. I mean, the reason that Martinez was axed with one game to go, which seems a bit pointless, is that the Everton board didn't want the last day of the season to be shrouded in misery, the fans protesting about Martinez. So they did it now and hopefully finish the season on a high. And I think they will. I think the cloud that was Martinez is gone now. You might see the players playing something to like their more normal self. Two matches between these two sides this season have both finished 1-1. But I fancy Everton to win this. And I think, okay, they're not playing particularly well at the moment, but 4-5 to beat a Norwich side who are poor, I still think that's value.
And they don't score goals away from home, this Norwich team, DK. I think they scored 13 goals away from home all season long. That's the second worst in the division behind Newcastle. They've only scored 12. But Everton, I mentioned that defence. Third worst defence in the Premier League at home. 30 goals conceded. Only Villa and Bournemouth have conceded more than that this season at home. It's hard to see a high scorer unless Norwich, as they kind of did in the home game against Watford, have kind of, you know, thrown off the shackles a little bit and are just going to go out there and play with a smile on the faces, if you like.
I think they will. I think that's what will happen. I don't know how Derek can say he feels sorry for Roberto Martinez.
I'll let that go, Derek, I must admit.
I don't even think
nice guy, but you know.
Yeah, I think his family probably understand why he's gone. They're the only people that will mourn his loss, I think, because these players have just gone backwards under his tutelage. You look at the amount of talent in that squad. We say it every single week, but John Stones has regressed. Romelu Lukaku's gone backwards, and these are two absolute stars in the Premier League, and Everton have been overtaken by the clubs they should be competing with, not even those top tier sides, teams like West Ham and Southampton. They've progressed past Everton now. It's tough to gauge what's going to happen in this fixture because you don't know if there's going to be a response from the players, an immediate reaction, but there could be. And Derek mentioned the two draws this season between the two teams. Actually, 6 of the last 8 meetings between Everton and Norwich in all competitions have ended in draws, and that's the way I'm leaning, actually, at 12-5. Can't play Everton at 5-6. Don't think Norwich are good enough to win there at 7-2. And even if Everton win this game, this will be their lowest total for points at home in a single Premier League season ever. Their current low was 25. They're currently on 20. They've only got one win in their last 10 Premier League games. They've drawn 3 and lost 6 of those, but Norwich have lost 8 of 9 away from home as well. I think we'll get a high-scoring game here. I'll go both teams to score in a draw at 100-30. I like 2-2 as well at 14-1.
Interesting, yeah. Just to recap those odds, 5-6 Everton, as DK said, draw for 12-5, Norwich 7-2, Lukaku to score and Everton to win, 5-2, or 17-10, and Mbakani to score and Norwich to win was 5-1. Now 7-1. Couple more to do. Chelsea, Leicester. Let's do that one. Let's talk about the champions, shall we? The name that'll get shouted most, I think, in this game will be Hazard, because obviously the Chelsea fans will claim that he won them the title, I guess, in the end. And I don't think the Leicester fans will be too shy in applauding him onto the pitch. They just keep on going, don't they, as well? Anyone who thought they were kind of going to be in party mood and hungover for the Everton game, no such thing. 5 minutes it took Vardy to open the scoring, and a 3-1 win in the end to extend their lead at the top. Now a 10-point gap going into the final set of fixtures. And they go to Chelsea, who are on 49 points. Can't go any further up, but could be caught by Stoke if they don't win this one. Speaking to our friend Bradley, who does the match announcing. I think I mentioned him before, Derek, one of the chaps who works here, does the match announcing at Leicester. And he's had the season, to, you know, of all seasons from his career. Obviously, he shouted onto the pitch to lift the Premier League trophy. He's in Victoria Park this weekend for the open-top bus, and he's welcoming Kasabian on stage. Absolutely loving it. And I said to him, what about this party thing? And he said they had a night out after they won the title, all at Vardy's house. He said then we were back in training, and they were back on it. He said he thinks he's not sure about this game. He said, I'm not sure about this game, where they'll be, whether they will be bang on it or whether they will have been taking the foot off the gas a little bit this week. You know, the other thing that I wanted to mention, you know, these Leicester players have had an unbelievable season, obviously. One of the things that I would be thinking about as a player now is the internationals. The England squad's named on Monday. Yeah. That's only been postponed, surely, to take account of any injuries that occur this weekend. He's not looking at final, you know, oh, I'll just have a quick check on what that guy's done. It's all about injuries. Surely, again, you wouldn't be going hell for leather when you don't need to go hell for leather when you're Vardy and you've got a chance to go to Euro 2016. It might be your only chance. You know, who knows what happens in the future. So I think that's really interesting. 7-5 Chelsea, 21-10 Leicester, 21-10 the draw. Do they finish off with a bang, DK?
I think they get beaten in this game. Oh, yeah. I know that the price looks attractive, over 2-1, 21-10 for Leicester.
We've been saying this all
year. Yeah, I know we have. I said last week that I didn't think the last home game at the King Power against Everton would be the letdown, because they were going to get through that game on adrenaline.
Yeah.
But the adrenaline must have gone now. And I know I'm saying this and I'm thinking to myself, I'm not 100% sure that's going to going to work out. But you know what, I'd probably leave the 90-minute mark, even though I think they're going to get beaten, because Chelsea do look short enough at 7-5. I'm going to pick up on that man you mentioned at the top of this preview, Eden Hazard. Right. He's 2-1 to score any time.
Found some form at last, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been nibbled in the betting. He was 21-10 when I came to prep this game yesterday, and he's beginning to look like last season's Hazard. Obviously, it's too late as far as Chelsea are concerned this season, but Antonio Conte must be delighted, as must Mark Wilmots as well, because he's going to have a fully fit and firing Eden Hazard to go to war with in the Euro 2016 championships coming up in a month. And Leicester haven't been quite as solid defensively in the last month, and surely they're not going to be fully pumped up for this game. I can see this one being quite open. And Chelsea had won 6 straight league games against Leicester before Leicester beat them 2-1 back in December. They've actually gone 11 Premier League matches at Stamford Bridge without a clean sheet as well, Chelsea. So I think this is going to be an entertaining carnival atmosphere, final day fixture. I see Chelsea edging it 2-1, which is 8-1. But the bet that I like most is Eden Hazard, who's had something to prove at the back end of the season and is going some way to proving that he's still a quality international world-class player. So 2-1, Eden Hazard to score.
I guess, you know, Vardy will want to, you know, finish top scorer if he possibly could. That would be good. I mean, we mentioned this earlier in the podcast, 25 goals for Kane, 24 for Vardy, 24 for Aguero. It's 4-9 that Kane is crowned top scorer in the Premier League. It's 5-2 Aguero and 6-1 Jamie Vardy. Dead heat rolls could apply here. But, you know, Vardy, he seems the sort of guy who'd want that. He'd want that.
Well, you saw how sick he was when he missed the pen last week. Yeah. I mean, he was talking in the interview afterwards, he was talking about the top goal scorer market. So, yeah, the temptation would be for him to take his foot off the gas, but that won't happen because of England. But that won't happen because he wants the top goal scorer accolade.
He doesn't seem that kind of guy either, does he?
Well, no, I know. What a season he's had. Oh. But on the other side of the coin, you got Eden Hazard, who has been a disgrace this season.
Yeah.
But I'm forgiving him that, because what I saw from him the other night, I'm forgiving him every crap game he's had, and he's had about 30 of them, for what he did at Anfield. He was just absolutely magical. And that goal he scored, you know, if you look back at that goal, when he got the ball, I don't know, 30 yards out from Liverpool goal, inside left position, you looked around him, there wasn't a Chelsea player near him. He was surrounded by about 8 Liverpool players. You remember that famous picture of Diego Maradona in the World Cup against Belgium, and all the Belgian players, the faces on looked like they themselves. Well, Liverpool was like that. That was an unbelievable goal, and in my eye, it was the goal of the season by a million miles. I thought it was sensational, and he is. I mean, in that form, I don't know what the Hills are doing, but some bookies are doing odds for player of the tournament in the Euros. I'm going to be battering Hazard because I think he's that good. I can't explain why he was so pony for you know, up till about a week ago, but what a player on his day. And Chelsea will win this game because I cannot believe for a second that Leicester will try a leg. Apart from Vardy for the top goal scorer, if I'm a Leicester player, there's no way I'm trying in this game. Chelsea will win this.
Yeah, it seems fair enough, doesn't it?
I mean, 2-1 looks like a good price on Hazard to score as well. I mean, like Derek mentioned, just unbelievable at Anfield, and I think for Belgium to have him fit and firing is fantastic, and 2-1 looks decent.
I get what you say. I just cannot take my eyes off the Chelsea home form. Let me just turn this round. Just look at that Chelsea home form in the Premier League.
Yeah.
One win this calendar year, one defeat, all draws. I think that draw price is big. I haven't put many up on here, but I think the draw is a decent price in that. A nice, cosy, friendly little draw at 21-10. Let's finish off then with Watford versus Sunderland. Watford 11-10, Sunderland 5-2, 23-10 the draw. We haven't got much time, guys, so give me one word.
You first, Dave.
You can give me more than that if you want to.
Ooh.
You can give me more. There's nothing on this game. Absolutely nothing on this game.
No.
Sunderland have made it a safe, nothing to play for. Watford, you know, they've done their job this season. You know, there's nothing. This is the only game I can work out in the Premier League. There's nothing. All right, Watford could move up a place if they.
Watford are so bad. I'd have to lean Sunderland at the prices at 5-2. This Watford side, if they didn't have Igalo and Deeney, they would be relegated and they'd be sunk without trace. They'll go down next season, Watford. So I'll go Sunderland at 5-2.
I'll go for the draw because I haven't got a clue.
I think DK brought me back into the fold, Derek, so he could blame me for not having a naps table. I presume you've still not produced a naps table. I did quite a lot of naps tables last year. I don't think you've produced one all season.
I did one earlier on in the season, but when we started playing musical chairs on this podcast, it was difficult to keep track of who was selecting
for who.
Derek Wallop.
Have you had another winning treble since I left this podcast?
No, we've not.
So we had one all season.
Derek walloped us that badly. No, we had two, I think.
Oh, two?
Yeah, we've had two.
Okay,
Derek walloped us that badly that it didn't... Me and you ended up in such a deficit that William Hill couldn't even cover it. That's how much we lost.
As I'm the guest, I'll go first. My nap this week is the draw in the Chelsea-Leicester game.
Okay. Shall I go second?
Yeah.
Why not?
My nap's Southampton are going to annihilate Crystal Palace, so I'll go Southampton -1.
That is an annihilation, you're right. Two-goal victory.
They'll win by at least two, but for safety reasons.
I get you.
Just to get a winner for the final podcast of the season, I'll go Southampton -1.
Yeah, Southampton -1 goal against Crystal Palace is 5-6.
I was going to go for Chelsea against Leicester, but you've stolen that from me, Lee. I will instead go for... You know what? I'm going to give Newcastle a go at 7-2 to beat Tottenham.
Okay. You know when we said we wanted to get a winner?
That's
Newcastle at 7-2. So the final treble of the season in the Premier League looks like this. Chelsea Leicester draw 21-10. Southampton v Crystal Palace -1 Southampton at 5-6, and Newcastle to beat Tottenham at 7-2. It pays 24.57-1.
It's nice.
It's a sensible amount, that I would say.
Yeah.
If you stick a tenner on that, you'll have £250 to spend, basically. Derek, thanks for all your efforts this Premier League season. Hopefully, we'll speak to you during the Euros. You're looking forward to seeing England win the European Championships. DK, same to you as well. Thank you very much for all your time this season. Same to Mark Walton, to Sam Norris, to Michael Wood, and anyone else who's appeared on the podcast, including our friend Mark Steele in the trading department. Very best of luck for all your bets this weekend, and we'll see you again very soon for the FA Cup final, for the Champions League final, and, of course, before all that, the Europa League final, which is next Wednesday night.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.